There really are some things in this life that are worth a deep personal investment of our time, of our talent, and of our treasure. Farming is certainly one of them. We live here in central Illinois with some of the richest farmland in the world. Nothing else is quite like it. And many of our neighbors, probably some of you, earn their living through farming. For most men and women engaged in agriculture, farming is much more a vocation, a whole way of life, than merely a business. Most farmers feel a very strong, even an emotional attachment to the land. They try to improve the soil and, whenever possible, add more land to their family holdings. Farmers care passionately about the harvest. They work long hours and they use all their skill, all their energy and experience to make the land produce an abundant harvest. They rejoice when they bring in a good crop, but they are devastated when all their hard work produces a bad harvest. Today's first reading from the prophet Isaiah is about that kind of passionate, personal investment in working the land and working for a good harvest. In the ancient kingdom of Judah, farmers certainly cultivated grain, but they also tended olive trees and they planted vineyards. Now, the farmer, in the passage from Isaiah, he calls him his friend, is actually God, the God of Israel. And the vineyard are the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the people of Judah. God loved his people like a treasured and most precious vineyard. But despite all God's concern, the vines from this vineyard produced nothing but bitter fruit, wild grapes. And God, almost like a lover who year after year and generation after generation had lavished care on his bride Israel, in return he received nothing but infidelity and betrayal. So like a love affair that had passed its noon, where passion at last turned to weariness, now would be the time for bitter recrimination, for unrequited love. Now, the prophecy of Isaiah is often compared to the first gospel, because so much of our four gospels spring from that prophecy of Isaiah. And there are so many beautiful words in this prophetic book, comforting words. There are gorgeous hymns of hope and canticles of praise. But unlike those rhapsodies, today's appointed reading is really a lament, a song of bitterness and pain. God is disappointed. God is offended by his people's lack of love and loyalty. Today's appointed gospel reading, according to Matthew, continues this theme of Israel as a vineyard, as the prized property of God. The keeper of the vineyard are the priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, those entrusted with the care of what belonged to God. And they have neglected their responsibilities. They have murdered the prophets God sent to reclaim his vineyard. They even turned against God's only Son. And the moment of judgment had arrived. Now, in the popular religiosity of recent years, there's been a certain reduction in our perception concerning the awesome reality of the living God. We have softened all of God's rough edges. We tend to filter out God's challenging, even disconcerting demands made upon us. For the last 30, 40 years, most homilies are about mercy, comfort, and forgiveness. And all of that is abundantly to be found in the gospel. But perhaps we have so emphasized God's mercy and forbearance, which are all true, we have begun to confuse the immortal and eternal master of the universe with a kind of syrupy Santa Claus. This is a God of our own creation, not the God of the Scriptures. The God we sometimes tend to like merely blesses our happy occasion. And kind of like a psychologist you pay money to listen to everything you might say, this invented God confirms all our human preferences. But the truth is, the living God judges. And Jesus Christ is not a therapist or just a feel-good preacher. The message of Christ cannot be reduced to just a warm hug or a nostalgic dose of comfort. The full gospel story contains the persistent message of challenge and dramatic choices for each one of us, of judgment and facing the consequences of refusing correction from God. Jesus always preached that human decisions matter, both for time and for eternity. And at the end of time, the mercy and forbearance of God will end, and the perfect justice of God will begin. Christ will appear in glory and judge the living and the dead. The Word of God is always a two-edged sword. It is intended by God to be both endless comfort and open-ended demand. God's Word, if we really listen, should shake up our lives almost like an earthquake or a tornado. It should challenge us and change us. It should turn everything about us upside down over and over again. We should always be being reborn and in a process of conversion, always becoming a new people living in the invincible power of grace. And this challenge certainly isn't just for the people who first heard Jesus preach his parable 2,000 years ago. This challenge is for you and for me living in this year of our Lord, 2011. There are all sorts of examples of how the church, the new Israel of God, may produce bitter fruit and not be a community of faithful stewards of the vineyard intended by God to produce an abundant harvest. Starting with me, we should ask ourselves, do we love our sins more than we love our God? Do we take every opportunity available to share our faith and bring others to Jesus Christ? Are we givers and servers, or just takers and complainers? Do we use every moment to build up the church, which is the body of Christ, or are we passive members who contribute little to the vineyard of the Lord? St. Paul gave good advice to the Philippians and good advice to us in today's second reading. And I say this especially to a lot of the ladies in this church who are givers. Keep on doing what you have learned and received, what is true, what is honorable, what is just, whatever is gracious. If there is any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things and keep on doing them. Just a few moments, we will come to the table of the Lord to receive the precious body and blood of the risen Christ. the vintage of the chalice is the most rare and precious of any conceivable harvest. We are blessed to share together the fruit of the cross. We must be changed by what we receive. We must be made holy by the holy things we share. Our amen should be a heartfelt assent not only to the real presence of Jesus in the sacrament, but to every word he preached. That message of Christ, those words of Christ, are not meant to discourage us, but they are meant to profoundly renew us. Rather like people in being tested in their marriage that may have reached a moment of crisis, if instead of ending their love, they face their problems and renew their commitments, more deeply than ever before, they can be in love again. So may each one of us always be ready, more ever than before, to love the Lord, to face what is wrong in our lives, to name our sins in the sacrament of reconciliation, to be converted and transformed by the incomparable love of Christ. And then through the grace of God, may all of us produce a rich vintage for that kingdom that has no end.